Between the Covers, a series designed around who and what can be done and achieved by patients, planning and working in a community of like-minded, successful people. This podcast series is for anyone looking at becoming a successful published author and those looking to understand the mind of a writer and the goals of a publisher. Proudly sponsored by Shoreline Publishing. Welcome and enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast series Between the Covers. I'm Kelly Wilson. Thanks for joining us. Today, I have the absolute great pleasure of speaking with author Nicole Kelly. And today, we're going to be chatting about her novel, which is not so new, been out a couple of years, her novel called Lament. How are you going today, Nicole?
I'm really well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for giving us your time. You've intrigued me greatly. And I really would love for you to tell us all about what Lament is all about.
Well, Lament is my little story about a really big topic. So it kind of delves with the Kelly gang, and it's a what if. So what would have happened if the siege at Glenrowan had been a success like they meant it to be? So the initial start of the book is based on fact and, you know, factual-ish.
Yes.
And then it runs into some fiction as to what happens after the siege. So and it's a little bit of a twist at the end.
That's really intriguing because it's different to kind of what's been done before. What were your inspirations for Lament?
I'm a bit ashamed to say I'd never read Peter Carey's book, the very, very famous True Story of the Kelly Gang. I have neither watched the movie nor read the book.
Wow.
So, and when I wrote this, I'd grown up in Wangaratta, so up in the northeast, where Kelly legend is just everywhere. Everybody's got a Kelly story. Everybody's grandma and auntie has met the Kelly gang or had a horse stolen by them. So everyone's got their own story. But so it's kind of growing up, it really piqued my interest. I love history. And so I was always a really big fan of the Kelly story. And I'd gone on maternity leave and I'm a teacher by trade. And so I'd sort of been thinking about Thomas Curnow, who's the teacher that flagged down the train. And we were having this discussion around the Kellys, and I said, oh, wouldn't it have been amazing, you know, if he hadn't stopped the train? I wonder what would have happened. My dad and I
were chatting. Yeah.
And it just sort of came from there. And we had this, and I said, that would be such a great story. You know, I'm on maternity leave. I should write it because what else are you going to do for the next
Glad
six
you
months?
Did.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it took 7 years, but
did it was really?
A little bit longer than, yeah, it took me 7 years. Because it's my first thing I've really ever written
lengthwise,
I just didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to edit it properly. I didn't.
Yeah. It's a huge process, let's face
it. Just a learning curve. Yeah, yeah. Massive. So it took a long time to get to the point I was ready to submit it. So, so it just kind of came from my interest. And then, of course, and I'd never read Peter Carey's book, and now I'm too scared to read it because his is obviously amazing. And
no, don't be. So is yours, I have no doubt. Yeah. I think it's a fascinating take on it and a clever one and a brave one. How did you go sort of interweaving true characters or true people from the Kelly era with your fictional characters?
Yeah, it was tricky in a way because I was really cognizant of the fact that these are real people.
Yeah.
So real people with relatives and descendants, some of them, and the fact that I'm writing about them in a fictional sense, that's a story to me that I love, that may not be something that they necessarily want to read. And also dealing with, you know, Redmond Barry, who was the judge in it, he's, you know, the Kellys don't really like him. So how do you, you know, report on that, and Thomas Curnow. And so I guess I just tried to keep that in mind about dealing with characters respectfully. So giving a well-roundedness, I guess, so that they were real characters. And Eddie, who I really didn't know anything about other than the fact that she's Steve Hart's sister and the possible relationship with Ned, you know, she had to come alive a different way, but I just hope that they had enough substance that they felt real off the page.
Authentic for our readers,
because and that was one of my proudest moments, really, was during my launch online. It got bombarded by a lovely lady called Nolene, and she's actually a Hart relative.
Oh, wow.
And she came on and introduced herself at the end of the launch, and I didn't know this lady, and I was terrified.
Yes, understandably.
Oh my goodness, you know, what's she going to say? And she has just been gorgeous and said, they came alive for me off the page, your voice in them. And that meant a lot.
Because that thought, is everything. You know, yep.
Like we said, you can't please everyone.
No, you can't.
Right. And yeah. But for her as a relative to say that she felt that their voices were authentic, I really loved that. So that made me happy.
That's an honour, an absolute honour, actually. Now, you fabulous reviews from what I've read. Did you also have some times that were less positive, knowing that you were writing about a subject that are, you know, some of the Kelly family obviously are still around?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not even people with just the Kelly family. I think it's everybody in Australia, or nearly everybody. Some people still don't know the Kellys, but lots of people are so invested in this story.
They are, yeah. Love them or hate them. Yeah.
Yeah, what it means to Australia, as well as, you know, all the families and friends. And it was really difficult because people are passionate one way or the other about the Kellys. And so once it was released, you know, I got to meet beautiful people like Nolene, who was so supportive about it.
Yeah.
And she's very supportive of people in general writing about the Kellys.
Yeah.
Mind you, she doesn't hold back either. She gives her opinion about things, which is wonderful.
I like that.
But it was really interesting to hear, once it's out in public, people's perceptions of the book. And some people loved it, some people absolutely ripped it apart, which is difficult to
read. It is difficult, and I know that myself.
But people saying that's not true.
Okay.
And, you know, ultimately, lament is a fictional story. It's
correct.
My imagination of
my
Ned. So, and I often say to people, it's not real Ned Kelly, it's my Ned Kelly. And my Ned Kelly was different to the Ned Kelly that Heath Ledger portrayed, and probably different to Peter Carey's Ned Kelly, but this is my Ned.
Yeah.
And my story. And yeah.
Good
and
answer.
So yeah, it was really difficult. But by the same token, you grow a thick skin, and
you
realize that not everybody loves everything you write. And generally the feedback has been really positive, which has been kind.
You just didn't quite know the Pandora's box you're opening, I'm assuming.
No, look, had I known how passionate people were, I probably never would have written it. I would have been terrified to put it out there. But I guess in your naivety, you go through the motions and think, oh, this is a great story.
No,
I did have a lovely episode, though, where I did a radio interview on Melbourne radio at night, and it was great. And I got off and I said, oh, that went so well.
Yeah.
I was so excited. And they had talkback afterwards, and the talkback line went off. And this man rang up and he said, and I know that. It's not true. That's not how the train got flagged down. It was my grandmother that waved. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I had to turn it off. I couldn't listen anymore.
No. Again, it's a fictional piece of work. Nicole, what does the writing process look like for you? So, you know, we're all so different as writers. What did the book look like when you were developing Lament?
I'm a bit of a planner. So I had to kind of jot down where I thought the story was going, just roughly. I don't do a massive plan, but I like to kind of jot out my writing where I think it will go.
Yes, agreed.
And then I like the writing process. I like the drafting. I like getting all the ideas down. But I find that because I like historical writing, that I fall down these rabbit holes of research. So that's been something that I've had to learn to just take a step back, because I spend so long looking at one little thing, like, did they serve
this food? It's your fascination,
Yes, in 1880 at this event, did they serve this food? And then you suddenly realise your 2 hours of writing time in between motherhood and working is gone. So
a lot. Yeah, I understand
I've had
that
to
too.
Do, I've got more efficient at writing a draft. And I guess for me, I really subscribe to that thing of shitty first drafts.
Yeah.
Your first draft is going to be pretty rubbish. As a teacher, that's what I tell my kids. I say, don't worry about it. Your first draft's going
to
be
It's a great awful. Mindset to have. Yeah.
It's been lovely, actually, having my children be able to see the kids that I teach, be able to see the writing come to fruition, so and to see that there's a book at the end of it. It's been really exciting. I was going to say that my kids that I was teaching got to listen to me on a radio, and the lovely other teacher had recorded it, and I got to come back and watch their faces, and it was beautiful. They were so excited. So that's been a highlight, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's why we do what we do, to influence like that. That's beautiful. You know, and listeners out there, you know, it's so much more than making money, which most likely is not going to be on top of your list, new writers.
No, you've got to be exactly right.
You've got to be passionate and
for the love of the writing. Yeah,
the love of the process, which in itself is not an easy thing to do.
No, exactly.
Now,
it's also been nice, you know, being from the rural sector, seeing the kids being able to see that, you know, it's okay that you can live in the country and you can get this done.
That's fantastic.
I think that's been really important too for us as teachers. Mm.
Now, congratulations again. Also, I saw that you won a grant, one of the rural arts grants.
Yeah, it was great. I got a Regional Arts Victoria grant this year, which has been so great. Yeah, it allowed me to go and do a mentorship with Jock Sarong from Port Fairy.
Wow.
And I'd been lucky enough, he just won the ARA Historical Prize last year with his story, and I'd been lucky enough to speak with him at the Port Fairy Literary Weekend after Lament was published, and so I had met him that way, and then I got to do the mentorship with him over the course of this year with my manuscript.
Yeah.
And that's just been worth its weight in gold. It's so valuable.
Oh, it sure is. And you also mentioned here that the importance of finding your writing people. Is that what you meant by that?
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. And part of that, you know, being able to do a mentorship is part of that, finding people that you can just bounce ideas from, because I have a really supportive family. They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
My mum's lovely. She'll read anything, but she's not very critical. And I feel like as a writer, you need to have someone that says, actually, this is great, but this is rubbish. This could be strengthened. To hear that honest feedback to make it better. So to sort of find someone like Jock that I could work with and had a really great relationship to bounce ideas from was amazing. But even to a lesser degree, you know, Writers Victoria, being able to get in and go to courses with them and see like-minded people. For me, has been just a revelation. And I know some people don't love Twitter, but I love it purely for the writing aspect of getting and having writers around you. So when I'm feeling a bit flat, I'll open it up and there'll be a number of other writers there feeling flat or
that's
submitting.
Really good advice.
It's so great. It's so great.
I've never done that. You know,
when you're feeling really, I think, oh, God, what do I do with this short story that I just procrastinated and wrote? Suddenly you flick through Twitter and there's a competition that's open or someone's accepting submissions. Right. And, I love it. So
that's really good advice for listeners as well. That's really cool.
So you can't get past Twitter. I love it.
Okay, there you go. You heard it first, listeners. Now, as well as every other writing challenge that you would have faced writing your novel, Lament, you also had to launch in the middle of the pandemic. Is that correct?
Yes.
What did that look like?
The pandemic was, you know, good in a way, because I was locked down enough and working from home enough as a teacher that I got to get those final edits done and get them to Carolyn at Hawkeye and get it finished so it could be published. So there was kind of a silver lining to it organisationally, but then the reality of I'm not going to be able to have a launch because I didn't know any different. And, you know, we ended up having 60 people on there and it was friends and family from all over the country.
Yeah, that's kind of beautiful.
You know, Carolyn could be there, which she's in Queensland, I'm in Victoria, so that wouldn't happen otherwise. And it was lovely. And people like Nolly, who I was speaking about before, being able to drop in. Yeah, and so it was challenging in a way, and probably more so I realised how challenging it was going to be afterwards, because the whole publicity aspect, especially with a first novel and being with a small publisher and I'm unknown and the book's unknown, being able to get out there and meet people and talk in libraries and spruik to people and show the booksellers, the local booksellers, the book, to get it out there, it made it really difficult because people were closed, there was no events, you couldn't speak in your local library.
Yeah.
And so that was the really challenging aspect afterwards.
Absolutely. And you should be double, triple as proud of yourself, Nicole, because, you know, 2 years on and it's gone from success to success. So, you know, I hope you've cheered yourself on for that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, it has. It feels like it's the little book that could. It's just chugging away.
Lovely way to put it. Yeah, lovely way.
Because I guess people have a real feel for, you know, after the pandemic, they can't wait now to get out and talk to people and go to events and things.
Go to events,
being able to sneak a few events in over the last couple of years has been amazing, and I'm very grateful for that.
Good on you. Now, just before we go, I am pretty intrigued to know, what are you working on at the moment, Nicole?
Oh, well, I'm doing another historical fiction manuscript, and it is almost ready to send out. So it is just about finished, and I finished working on it with Jock. I'm just doing the very final edits now. And it's based on soldier settlers in Victoria. So after World War One, soldiers were given land grants, and it's about a man and his family who come back and living on the land in a soldier. And it's just something that really me, because I had family, my great-grandparents were soldier settlers in South Australia, Swan Hill, at a place called Naya, and it's about his life and his return into normality, I guess, but it's also woven with the really unfortunate death of a young girl up there. And that is also based on some family history. So it was something that's really close to my heart. It's a story that's really close to my heart. And I started writing it. I was writing something else. And then I went, actually, I think I might just start pottering along and writing this. And it just took off. So I always think that's a good sign when it gets legs of its own and runs.
Definitely.
And then 100%. You just get to work with it.
Well, Nicole, you're going to have to come up with something big. Definitely after Lament, and it sounds to me like you have done that.
Yes, well, keep an eye out. So far this one is called Unsettler, I'm thinking. So haven't sent it out yet, but I can't wait.
Oh, I'm sure your readers will love that as well. Well, Nicole, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today, and I wish you continued success as a writer.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Covers, produced by Shoreline Publishing.